My guest at this time is Indiana Republican Congressman Marlon Stutzman, a freshman representing the Hoosier State's 3rd Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Budget Committee. We want to get his thoughts following Wednesday's release from the Congressional Budget Office of new numbers suggesting that our debt for the year, our deficit for fiscal year 2011, will be a little bit lower than forecast, and our unemployment situation will very slowly get a little bit better over the next year and a half. But some analyses of the report already suggest that even that's too rosy, something that, in a footnote, the budget office admits itself. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thanks for having me on.
Well, the CBO basically saying that at one point some of these numbers are a little bit old, I guess, and some of the more recent information would suggest that these forecasts wouldn't be so rosy, and rosy is probably not a real good word to give them anyway. What's your overall assessment of this report?
Well, you know, obviously $1.3 trillion is nothing to be, you know, writing home about. We still have a lot of work in front of us. We do know that revenues have increased. Spending has not decreased. So just because the margin has shrunk does not mean that we're even getting close to getting out of the woods at all. I tell you, this is something that I believe we have to realize that if you know, progress is being made, we have to continue to find more ways, because this is just not going to be enough at this rate. If we would even reduce it to $300 billion over the next 4 or 5 years, we can't wait that long. I just actually had a meeting with some ag groups from back here at home, and you know, people are concerned about the future in so many different ways, whether it's the debt, whether it's higher taxes, regulation. We got to get the economy moving again, getting people back to work.
There was a proposal right around the time of the debt ceiling, and I guess it's still out there since it wasn't advanced, and that's the so-called penny plan from Congressman Connie Mack of Florida, who said that if you cut actual spending, not the rate of spending increases, but the actual spending 1% a year in less than a decade, you'd be balanced. Is it that simple?
Well, you know what? I actually am a sponsor of that. One of the first bills I signed on to this Congress was Connie Mack's plan. I think it makes sense. And, you know, people back home understand that we're all in this together, and that everybody's going to have to give up something. And when you're talking about one penny out of every dollar being cut, I mean, if people can't make an adjustment for that small amount, then we got big problems that, unfortunately, we do have politicians in Washington that just refuse to go down that road. I think it's common sense, it's practical, and it's reasonable for us to look at a plan that would cut of 1% over the next 6 years, and to get us back to a balanced budget. Because only until we get to a balanced budget will we ever be able to start paying our debt down. And we cannot have $15 trillion of debt hanging over our head, accumulating interest. Just the interest alone is our third largest expenditure after our military and entitlement programs.
Well, let's talk about entitlements, because one of the counterarguments, I guess, or concerns about something like the penny plan would be that, well, you can cut 1%, but with a huge percentage of Americans hitting the entitlement systems, being eligible for that, Social Security and Medicare in particular, those costs have got to skyrocket based on where we are right now, unless there's major reforms done. So that would mean pretty significant cuts elsewhere, if not elsewhere within those entitlement systems. So how would you go about actually finding that 1%?
Well, there has to be reforms within our safety net systems. Our entitlement programs obviously have been taken advantage of. I don't know if you saw the report today about this water dumping situation that's come out. People are taking advantage of government programs. Now, there's obviously there are needs out there that can be met and have to be met, and people have paid into Social Security for years and years and expect to get their money back. I think there's common sense solutions that we can use with Social Security. I mean, let's look at the fact that people are living longer than what when Social Security was first established. Life expectancy was roughly 65. We're paying for about 2 years of retirement. Now we're paying for 10 to 12 years on average. We're going to have to look at the age issue, I think, should be a part of it. It's not a bad thing. It's something that we're going to have to just adjust for. Looking at Medicare and the cost of health care, What I constantly hear from people back home, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's in agriculture, manufacturing, is that government continually makes it harder to do business and to make it makes it more expensive. And so until we get free market solutions into healthcare, with cost of healthcare continuing to rise, Medicare costs are going to continue to rise as well. And we need to get more free market-based solutions to be a part of that and creating accountability within the system.
A lot of folks, Congressman, are focused on either the president's jobs plan, which we're expected to hear early next month, or the work of this super committee, which is expected to have its recommendations available by Thanksgiving. What's not being talked about a lot is the fact that all these appropriations bills still need to be done. The House has done its budget blueprint. The Senate has not. How huge of a fight are you expecting over those?
Well, that is the battle right now in Washington. It's big government versus small government. I think there is a balance. We are just we have crossed that line where our government is so large and so cumbersome that business and the economy are being slowed down because of it. I think that with the appropriations bills and the budget bill that we passed out of the House is one that not only addresses short-term problems, but also addresses the long-term problems. You know, one thing that I find a lot of with, especially seniors when I'm back home, just like my wife's grandmother who came through the World War II era and is still saves her bread bags and her twisty ties and is always trying to make sure that she is protected for the future. That's the type of mentality that created a generation of savers. Unfortunately, now we have a generation that spends more and pays forward rather than saves before spending, and we're going to have to unfortunately pay, there's going to be some consequences that go with what has happened over the past, whether it's robbing the Social Security fund account, whether it's trying to spend $1 trillion in stimulating the economy. What the answer here is this, is let's get back to backing government off, letting the economy move forward. People have the desire, and they also have the capital that they're willing to start spending if they know their investment is going to be safe, and if they know that government is not going to pull the rug out from underneath them after they made those investments. And that's how jobs are created. The government doesn't create jobs. It's the private sector and a strong, vibrant economy that gets people back to work. And that's what we need to be focused on in Washington.
Congressman, some sobering numbers certainly from the CBO yesterday, and I know, as we've discussed, a major debate to come here as Congress resumes in a few days. Thank you very much for being with us.
Always good to be with you. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Indiana Republican Congressman Marlon Stutzman, freshman from the state's 3rd Congressional District, also a member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.